You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Now, my next guest is an academic and a college researcher and an expert in the field of autism. We've spoken with her often on that issue on the programme. She's somebody who really walks the walk too, as mum of Tomás, who was diagnosed with autism as a toddler. And since then, and since that diagnosis, Dr. Susan Crawford's dedicated herself to researching therapies to help him and thousands of others affected by the condition. She's now looking to help people with autism in another way, which we'll hear, as she is set to, in the coming weeks, embark on a 2,500-kilometre challenge along the entire length of the Wild Atlantic Way. Dr. Susan Crawford, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kevin.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. You're very welcome, and a pleasure to meet you. We've spoken often, but I think it's the first time that you and I have met in person, which is fantastic. I wasn't aware of your own personal links in terms of Tomás with autism. Is that where your interest in is the wrong term, but is that where your association with autism began?
Totally. To be honest, Kevin, I was thrown kicking and screaming into the world of autism because of Tomás. I had trained as a nurse and a midwife, and despite that, I had little, if any, knowledge of autism, to tell you the truth.
And what was it like to get landed with that diagnosis, as you say, to get thrown kicking and screaming into the world of autism?
It was devastating. I can still remember walking down O'Connell Street in Dublin and tears streaming down my face and just saying, oh my God, what's ahead of us, you know?
Was it different then to now? There probably wouldn't have been as much awareness of autism.
Yeah, absolutely, it was. And I suppose I see huge increases in awareness in that regard. You know, it's not as strange for people now to talk about the condition and have some degree of understanding of it. Back then it was very, very different. We had to go all over the world really to try and find out about the condition and about how to implement change and programs and all of that kind of stuff. And I do remember vividly, actually, the paediatric neurologist at the time said to me about returning home with Tomás. He was diagnosed in Temple Street. She said, I feel like you're going back to Calcutta, that you're going back to a place with no support, no services.
West Clare.
Yeah, and I was astounded at the time. I thought, oh, she doesn't know County Clare at all, until I came home myself and started looking for services, and it was tough. Yeah.
What sort of services were not available, shall we say?
Certainly the whole notion of getting into, finding out about speech and language therapy. OT came very secondary, occupational therapy. And even down to getting through to the whole education system and figuring out support in schools and that. I remember it was a real battle to get a special needs assistant for Tomás in the school, and constantly contacting the Department of Education and ringing and writing in those days.
Did you have to be that, more than an advocate, that warrior?
Totally. Totally. And I would say to parents, which is a terrible thing really to have to say, you have to be a fishwife if you're going to survive in this world, because you have to keep kicking and screaming to get anything. Nobody acknowledges the nice, polite letters. It's all about, I want, I need, my son's rights and entitlements are this.
Probably very easy to get over our innate Irishness, our innate reluctance to give out and to complain when it's your flesh and blood.
Absolutely. That's it. At the end of the day, it's about, this is my son, and if I don't do the very best I can for him, I'm not functioning as his mother as I should be.
There have been a lot of improvements, it's fair to say, but we don't have to go too far from the headlines today to see issues in the health service and a lot of great people doing a lot of great work. I don't question that, but still people have to kick and to scream and to fight.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, where things have improved greatly in many ways, equally, I still hear from parents. I would say several times a week I'm taking calls from parents, Gavin, struggling to get appropriate support in schools. The adult population, it's an ongoing battle to get appropriate respite support, which is really, really ridiculous in this day and age, because everybody knows the trajectory. Once somebody hits 18 and over and you go into adult services, if you're in the severe end of the spectrum, you need long-term realistic support.
How is Tomás?
He's doing reasonably well. He's going through treatment for catatonia of autism. So he's having ECT in 5B in Limerick twice a week. And I suppose with all the giving out about the HSE and the health service, the 5B, the staff there are second to none. The psychiatric team there have really, really pulled out all the stops to support us, as have the psychiatric team and the Brothers of Charity, Dr. Mary Kelly in Limerick has mm-hmm. just been outstanding. And that's the thing, the people on the ground really want to support as much as they can, but they can only do what they can do with the resources they are given.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you and your family all the best going forward. Where
Thanks,
did
Kevin.
You go from, or how did you go from being a nurse, a midwife and a fishwife, as you described yourself, to becoming an expert in this area, an academic in this area?
It was kind of a freak thing, really. When Tomás was diagnosed, I had been in UL as a mature student doing a sport and exercise science degree. And because I had spent the previous couple of years working with sports clubs around Clare as a massage therapist and looking after sports injuries. So I was doing that degree. Tomás was diagnosed with autism. So when I returned to finish the degree, a big part of it was looking at the whole area of how we develop motor skills, catching, kicking, throwing and things like that. And what I began to realise was that our population with autism showed impairment in this area right through from childhood. And it was an area that wasn't really explored.
Sure.
So I linked in with wonderful research in the University of Limerick, Dr. PJ Smith, he was one of my lecturers, and another brilliant motor psychologist, David Sugden, in the University of Leeds, and applied for and got a scholarship to do a PhD in the whole area of autism and motor impairment. And it was the first study of its kind done in Ireland. And I travelled on from there then. So
that was the step one.
That was it, yeah.
That's a lot to take on when you're so much at home.
You know what? I suppose I was living, eating, sleeping the autism piece anyways. Tomás had been a night runner-up, running by night when he was very small. So I'd started him running by day to know would we regularise the situation. And I was only describing this last night to a group that were over with me. I had been working with Doombeg football team, and I have some brilliant friends who are runners as well, close friends of mine. Thomas Griffin is one of them. And I had been saying I could do it a track around the house. So one Saturday, Thomas Griffin and his brother-in-law, Tom Brown, arrived at a digger, and they dug out a trench around our house and lined it. And the then Doombeg football team, John Smith and people like him, came on board, and they got lorries of ash up from Moneypoint, and we had our running track around the house. So we kind of kicked on from there then, keeping the running going every day. And I did my studies away as I was going. And yeah, just that side of it, we just moved on, the two of us, through wherever we were going. Mm. And even though Tomás was diagnosed with severe autism and learning disability and all of those things, he was absolutely super in terms of developing skills. He was able to wash, clean, cook, do everything you could possibly think of, right on through into his teens and that, until really he turned 18, left school, changes in his family life, and this catatonia emerged.
Yeah.
And I suppose for us it has presented as a huge challenge. But we're getting there.
Okay. You know. And I suppose that is a reality for so many families and for parents of children who have autism or other issues, whereby those issues develop and change as time goes on, and your own life changes.
That's
and your own
it.
Physical capabilities change and everything else changes, and it's so tough, but it reinforces your point about the need for adult respite care that you made just 2 minutes ago.
Absolutely.
That these things, you know, the help in school is fantastic, but it needs to continue after graduation.
That's the big gaping hole, really and truly, in this country in terms of adult services. That drop off after the age of 18, it has to be consistent, and it's a no-brainer. You know, we can see the trajectory from when the child is diagnosed, what the types of services they need, the early intervention they need, all of that. But to leave people really beyond 18 without appropriate support, service programs, etc., is really criminal, you know.
Go back to the running track. It's prepared you well for the challenge that is upcoming. You are running the length of the Wild Atlantic Way.
That's it, yeah.
You're aware that's 1,600 miles.
I am, and I'll tell you, I got a bigger shock last night. I was working with my great friend Gerald Mannion and others planning this route, and it's 2,500 kilometres. But last night I was looking at another map and I saw it's 2,600 kilometres, and I'm going, oh no.
What's another 100 kilometres and you're on that far?
So yeah, we're taking off. We had meant to start the middle of February, but we've pushed it back a month just to build up our PR piece and that. So we're taking kicking off the middle of March, the 23rd of March, from the Old Head in Kinsale.
Very good. And you were telling me before we came on air, you're going to run it at weekends and life will continue as normal during the week.
That's it, yeah, Gavin. The reality is, look, I can't be gone during the week. Tomás is having ECT and I have to be at home and there, all of that kind of thing. And so we're going to go at weekends and do it. So come and go every weekend as much as possible. And we'll book full weeks of holidays, say for a week at the end of March, and do it together, the two of us. Tomás will be with me as much as possible on the run. Together we're running at the moment, doing what we call tethered running in the sport, I suppose, where he holds one end of a rope and I hold the other. Yeah. To be, you know, if you had visual impairment, you'd be using the same technique. So it works really well for us. And so, yeah, we'll be heading off the 23rd of March.
Why are you doing it?
For me, I suppose, I love running. I would always have loved the notion of Tomás and I doing the Camino and discovering ourselves and each other in a totally unhinged, unspoilt way, I suppose. And with him having treatment at the moment, I thought, well, this is a way we can do our own Irish Camino and travel the Wild Atlantic Way. But in reality, I really want to drive the agenda of both autism awareness and equally autism active, to encourage children and adults with autism to get out and be active. I mean, it is my own bread and butter. It was my own research area and what I believe in and what I drive. And I suppose it is showing people this is how you do it. Just get out and start moving.
So it's not... Is there a fundraising element or is it just more about the message?
It's more about the message, to be honest. I mean, sure, if people want to sponsor us or anything like that, that's perfectly brilliant. But I'll be rolling out proper certified autism awareness training and people pay to do that. So that will keep us going. And if any big sponsor wants to come on board, we'd be delighted to have it. And we will be calling on the goodwill of people to stay with people, help us, you know, moving cars along the way.
Yeah, of course.
That sorts
of
stuff, the logistics of it. And already, I was saying before I came in, it's amazing all the people that have rang me from different counties just saying, we want to support you when you're coming through here. We want to provide a car, provide accommodation, whatever. And the other thing I really want to do, Gavin, is I would love to hear people's stories. And I don't mean that in a voyeuristic way, but to actually give voice to the voiceless. Because there are many, many people out there like Tomás, like myself, going through similar journeys. And just to see, where have you gone? Where is it taking you? And maybe even be able to say, well, I've tried this, this might work, etc. Because in our world, that has been phenomenal over years. You know, one of my closest friends, Nora Johnson in Kilmahel, and Andrew, her husband indeed, like it's having, who have a son, Cahal, who has autism, it's having that immediate direct support from people beside you that know your journey.
Yeah. I've experienced this in the past. This is what we did. This is what worked.
Totally.
This is what didn't work. All of these lessons that you can learn from each other. No, absolutely. Completely understand it from that point of view. And I would, when you were talking about getting out and getting active with Tomás, with your son, there's probably a lot of others who maybe felt that they can't do that or haven't been able to do it, or okay, we're not all going to run the Wild Atlantic Way, but even to go for a walk or whatever it might be.
And that is the piece. This is something that's available to everybody that doesn't have to cost money. Every support service we access in the world of the autistic spectrum disorders costs money, but this is something you can do without worrying about that. Anybody can get out, go for a walk, go for a run, crawl, whatever you have to do. But being out and active enhances your well-being, enhances your health physically, but gives children and adults on the spectrum opportunities to engage with others, improve their social skills, maybe join a club, join in for a warm-up in the GAA, whatever it is. There are bits and pieces of sports you can join into, come out of, or tweak and improve it all the time.
Absolutely.
You know.
How long will it take you?
I'm talking, looking realistically, about 5 or 6 months.
Oh, that's good going. Yeah. I was thinking much longer for the distance that it is. That's not bad.
Yeah, because if I take the week's holidays here and there, and we'd be doing a bit every day.
Yeah, of course.
That kind of will shorten it a little bit. And if I'm struggling, we'll hop on a bike.
And I won't give out you for cheating. No, I wish you all the very best with it. It's a tough, physically it's a tough one, but there's a very good, powerful message behind it. And people can follow you along the way as well, I'm sure.
How that's right. That? We're going to, we have Aoife Spellman hopefully working with us as our social media strategist, and we'll be doing the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the whole shebang. I am so alien to social media, Gavin. It's terrible. I have to think, what are they? But I'm getting there. But with help, we'll get there. Yeah.
Very good.
And anybody can follow us on www.getautismactive.com on the website, because I'd be blogging.
Very good. As if you haven't enough to do already.
Yeah.
Getautismactive.com. I wish you all the best at it, and I look forward to following your journey. You're going to start towards the latter part of March, getting underway on the 23rd, you were telling me. Mm-hmm. You'll have a busy summer ahead.
That's it. Yeah.
Dr. Susan Crawford, a pleasure.
Thanks, Gavin. Thanks a million.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.